Hello, everyone. This is Mike Rohde for the Sketchnote Army podcast. Before we get started in this episode of the podcast, I wanted to mention we've got a new clothing line we're releasing that gives you an opportunity to support Sketchnote Army, the website, the newsletter, and the Sketchnote Army podcast. If you go to sketchnotearmy.com/t-shirts, you'll see this variety of t-shirts that we have to offer. It's men's and women's cut t-shirts in 5 different colors, as well as a heavy-duty hoodie in 5 different colors. So you've got quite a variety to choose from. All the purchases that you make of these t-shirts and sweatshirts will support Sketchnote Army, the newsletter, the website, and of course this podcast, and help pay for all the costs that it takes to put these out for you. So if you'd like to go there and check it out, this is a way to support the Sketchnote Army. It's a way to make a statement about your being a sketchnoter, and these can make great gifts as well for those in your life that you know do sketchnoting and would like to have something that would be kind of cool and different that will get people to notice. So go check it out and support the Sketchnote Army at sketchnotearmy.com/t-shirts. And now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to the Sketchnote Army podcast. I am your host, Mike Rohde, the author of the Sketchnote Handbook and the Sketchnote Workbook. And I am so stoked to invite my Hawaiian friend, Pastor Gary Lau, to the podcast. Gary.
Aloha.
Aloha. Awesome. Well, welcome to the show. And for many of us, you're quite far away from the mainland, and especially the Europeans. You're even farther from them. So welcome from a faraway land that many of us wish we could visit. And maybe one day we will.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, no, Mike. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's such a pleasure.
Well, as you know, for being one of the early listeners when I release these on Thursday night, I think, or Tuesday night, you tend to be one of the first ones who get to hear it. So you, of anyone, know that we like to start with context. Any good sketchnoter knows that context always is helpful. And in podcasts, it's no different. So why don't you give us some context around who you are and what you're about and how you stumbled into this sketchnoting thing and what you're doing with it.
Great. Thanks, Mike. I was born and raised in Honolulu, Hawaii. Really never left the island. And as I was growing up, I always had a penchant for organizing data. One of the things I've learned about myself is that I like to turn chaos into order and to make the complex simple. Even when I read a nonfiction book, I always have this desire to outline each chapter. Now, I don't know why, and sometimes that's why it takes so long for me to read a book. But I also like to create. When I was a young kid, my favorite show was a show called Zoom on PBS. And my favorite segment was something called Zoom Do's. It was like an arts and craft, something you could create, Zoom Do's. And I remember back when soda used to come in a cardboard case of 24. I have this nice double rugged cardboard. And I would take that cardboard and cut it up, make a frame or make a diorama or make some kind of game. Or I would get the toilet paper rolls or the paper towel rolls and make like a pilot's yoke or a steering wheel, put it in my mom's car. So I always had a desire to create, to turn chaos into order. I would go to the library and I would check out books by the author Ed Emberley. And he had very simple drawings, just some simple lines, simple shapes, maybe even using a thumbprint. So he was one of my favorite authors growing up. Another was Richard Scarry. And he had these beautiful books where he would label the objects in an organized manner. And I really loved his books. And then later on, when I got to college, I drifted towards the DK books because, and maybe that was even like a precursor to how sketchnoting is organized. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of white space, but there's a lot of information and a lot of visuals. So I really enjoyed creating and I love organizing. I became a Christ follower during my junior year in high school. And in the late 80s, when I was in college, I attended this seminar called Walk Through the Bible. And the seminar helped me to understand the big picture of the Bible. And what they would do was use hand signs and catchphrases to help you understand the Old Testament and the New Testament. And one of the takeaways from that seminar was that it communicated to me that the Bible could be organized and understood. And so in 2002, because I liked the seminar so much, I myself became a walk through the Bible instructor.
Wow.
And I went throughout the islands teaching people the big picture of the Bible. And I have a real desire to help people understand the Bible, and that it's not hard to understand. Now, I didn't say it's easy to understand, but it's not hard. It's like any discipline. If you study it, you'll get it. And then along the way, I found that I've enjoyed building curriculum to help people understand the Bible. A few years ago, I took one of these personality exams, and it showed that I like to convey ideas using various mediums and materials. And so it almost seemed like Sketchnote was the perfect fit for me to do what I want to do to communicate the Bible. Hmm. And so I really appreciate sketchnoting.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And then part of my journey, this takes me to 2008. I was asked by a local Christian college to teach its New Testament overview class. And in that class, you teach students a survey of all 27 books of the New Testament. Now, what I didn't want to do was boring lectures. I sat through enough boring lectures through my university years, and it was just terrible.
Yeah.
and so I poured myself into the class, teaching them everything I knew about the New Testament, which wasn't much. And within 3 weeks of the semester, I ran out of gas, and I resorted to boring lectures. And I was so disappointed in myself, and I felt so bad for these students who paid good money to be in this class. Hmm. And so before teaching the last book of the Bible, of the New Testament, I had to take a week off to take a class for my Master of Divinity degree. I was pursuing a graduate degree at the time. And I took the class, was coming home. As I was passing through Los Angeles Airport, I went into the bookstore. And on display was a book called The Back of the Napkin.
Oh, yeah.
By Dan Rome.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. And what he says is you can solve problems and sell ideas with pictures. And right there in LAX bookstore, I felt a tug from the Lord. And it's almost as if he said, this is what you're looking for. I hopped on the plane, took out my Bible, a yellow pad of paper, turned it landscape, and I drew out the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation has a lot of imagery, a lampstand, star, sword, trumpets, bows, throne, a new creation. And that five-hour trip from Los Angeles to Honolulu felt like minutes.
Wow.
And the person sitting next to me, he started leaning over and he was looking at my drawings.
Awesome.
Well, the following week, I went to class and I wondered, would this work in a higher education environment? So I told everyone, put your books away, take out a piece of paper, turn it landscape, and make 7 columns. And over the course of that class, we drew out the book of Revelation. And it was wonderful. No one remembers anything from that class except that drawing. And so that kind of was the spark within me to move forward. Well, graciously, the college asked me to teach the Old Testament overview class. And that gave me an opportunity to draw the 39 books in the Old Testament. And then the college asked me again to teach New Testament. And that gave me a chance to complete the whole Bible so that by the summer of 2009, I had completely drawn out the 66 books of the Bible. And what I had done was build a visual library of the Bible.
Wow.
And that's kind of how my sketchnoting journey started, without knowing that it was sketchnoting. And so I taught the classes for the next 3 years, and the classes started getting bigger. And so I needed teaching assistants. And so I asked some of my former students to come and help me teach. And when they taught the class, they used the same methodology I had taught. Hmm. And I had discovered that the drawing methodology could be taught to anyone.
Wow.
One of my former teaching assistants, his name is Kurt, he's teaching it at his workplace. Two of my students, they've taught it in Sunday school. And some of the students in my class, they were parents, and they would go home and teach their children. And I discovered at that point that this methodology of drawing worked cross-generationally from parent to child. And then some of my teaching assistants, they went and took it overseas. One lady named Emmy, she took it to the Philippines, taught it there. Another one was Esther. She took it to Myanmar, and she taught it there. Hmm. And I discovered then that the methodology worked cross-culturally. And so now it can be used as a tool on the mission field. So what I'm doing now is I'm in the midst of taking that material, which I taught in a college classroom, and I'm putting it online. And I'm almost finished with the course, and it's called Learn the Bible Fast. Hmm. And it will teach you the big picture of all 66 books of the Bible, and then you can teach it to others. And I'm really excited about that project. I'm really hoping that it will be completed by the end of 2016. And so let me tell you how sketchnoting came across my path. Mm-hmm. In 2013, I came across a sketchnote handbook. And this is when it was still available for Kindle on the iPad. You can't get that anymore. So I don't have the physical sketchnote handbook. I have it on the iPad. And I read through it, and I loved it. And I posted my first sketchnote in November 2013. It was on Bible book of 2 Samuel chapter 11, and I put it on Instagram, and it's still there. And then a year later, I sketchnoted a sermon that I had heard. Then this year, I started something different. As I was studying the New Testament book of Matthew, I found myself sketchnoting different parts of it. I just naturally gravitated to sketchnoting a book of the Bible. And it just so happened, a local Bible institute asked me to teach a class. And so I chose the New Testament books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and started to sketch that out. And what I found was that sketchnoting was helping me with my lesson plans. And it was amazing. I could think more clearly with sketchnoting. And so I finished 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and right now, if you're on Twitter, you'll see my Bible sketch notes on 1st and 2nd Samuel, because I'm going to be teaching a class on those Old Testament books. And so that's what I'm doing right now, and that's how I'm brought to this point in my sketchnoting history, Mike.
Wow. That's quite the story, and I hadn't known that story. I knew a little bit about what you were up to, but really hadn't had the sense of how deep and how far back that went and sort of all the influences. And it's pretty exciting to hear how that's opened the door for you to take this, what can be seen as a very complex series of books, right, and ancient books too, and put them down in sort of an overview form. You know, in what you've done and with the course that you're preparing. I know that the first thing I thought of, and I told you this, I think probably last week, was I would love to have all of your sketch notes like gathered into a soft cover book so I could just go through them and work through that, like to have that visual companion, even if you, aside from the course itself, but to have the artifact of your, you know, your approach of going through the Bible that way in a physical book. I think that would be kind of cool, and maybe that's, maybe you can put that on your back burner. But I just think it's really cool to see how you're sort of taking this concept and you're applying it in this specific space where you have passion as a way to not only help yourself understand and work your way through these ideas, but then to further to share it with someone else. And I think from what I've understood in my teaching experience, which has mainly been the sketchnoting stuff, is teaching it forces you to be really good at understanding what's going on. And I think that's maybe the best learning tool is having to teach it, right? So
yeah,
I'm excited about that, that this might open the door for many other people to take those concepts and then teach them to others, children or colleagues or what have you.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that because there's so much potential, untapped potential. And so there's a number of projects that I'm working on. You're not the first one to ask for a book of the Bible sketch notes that I did for 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And I'm very humbled by that because I primarily did this for me, but now it's kind of caught on a little bit. So what I've done is I've actually compiled all the drawings and I've put it into a PDF and I'm giving it away on my website, Mike.
Nice.
It's my website is BibleSketchNote.com, and you can sign up, become a member, and you can download that PDF. And I'm putting a whole bunch of other things by the end of the year on that website so people can download it, because really my heart is to help people understand the Bible. And I don't want it to be cost prohibitive, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to give this stuff away. And so some of the other projects that I'm working on besides 1st and 2nd Samuel is I'm working on a one-day workshop on Bible sketchnoting, because I would love to have more people Bible sketchnoting. And it's broken up into two parts. Right now it's just in my mind and nothing is written down. But part one is how to interpret the Bible correctly. And then part two is how to sketchnote what you interpret.
Mm-hmm.
For now, it will be a live seminar, but one day it might turn into some kind of online course.
Hmm.
But I love to teach it live first to get all the kinks out. Another project I'm working on came from a lady who said, if her name's Sally, and she said, have I done any sketch notes on another Bible book? It's called Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no. You know, I've only done at that point 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, but it got me thinking about sketchnoting every chapter of the Bible, and which is close to 1,200 chapters.
Wow.
And this is a large project, and it'll take me several years to do it, but it's something that it's like what Jim Collins and Jared Porras wrote in, I think, their book Good to Great. It's my big, hairy, audacious goal. It's called a BHAG. And so, you know, I've only finished two of the 66 books of the Bible, but I would love to finish every single book of the Bible.
Wow. That would be quite the achievement, and definitely like a lifelong goal to pull that off. And I can imagine, so the way I imagine this is you've sort of got the overview of the whole Bible, right? Of each book in a condensed form, a simple, you know, overview form. So it'd be really interesting to have some kind of, maybe it's even a digital or an analog book, you know, when you're completed with that. So you'd have the overview would be the beginning of the chapter, right, to give you that overview. And then you would dive into the specific chapters individually in depth, right? And you could go through the whole Bible. Effectively, it would be a translation of a Bible in some sense, right? It wouldn't be word for word, but it would be the concepts in pretty good detail, I'd guess, by the time you got done with each chapter, maybe not to the word, but conceptually to understand what those were. And maybe, I imagine, as you go through those, you're probably giving references to other historical documents and so on. If you know, Josephus, I think, is one of the historians mm-hmm. who, you know, you could reference. Or so, I mean, there's so many ways that that could go, and how amazing that would be to have a visual reference like that for someone. And many, I think there's many people who are visually oriented where they actually perceive and understand better by using that approach, how that would open the door to someone who maybe finds text difficult if you're dyslexic or, you know, somehow it's a little bit more inscrutable, that having this visual companion could open the door to doing something like that, that maybe they wouldn't have done in any other way. So that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I think it's hard for me to think of where to go from there, because that was just such an amazing story, and to hear how not only have you come as far as you have, but now you've put even more on your plate, that big, hairy, audacious goal, right? That the BHAG. That it's it gives you the fuel to keep on going. I think that's a great thing, and I think it's very inspiring to hear that you're going to do that. That you, at least you've set out to maybe do that, and I'm excited to see where it's going to go. And I'm sure that there's many others who are listening who would be excited to be part of it, and however they might be able to do that to see it happen. So thank you for taking this sketchnoting thing in this direction that, as far as we know, no one else has taken it in this direction. That's really cool. Mm.
Oh, my pleasure, Mike. I really enjoy it. I really do.
So, I think the direction I want to go now, there's a couple of directions. One is, I want to talk a little bit more about sketchnoting sermons specifically, because I think you specifically are going after this, interpreting the scriptures, right, in a visual form. Mm-hmm. For people who are studying the Bible, I can imagine that that would be a really valuable study skill. So that's one direction that I'm thinking. In fact, I could imagine in myself having a notebook, right, to process through a book of the Bible and then sketchnote those concepts for me to remember. That teaching that skill would be huge. So that workshop that you talk about sounds really fascinating, and I would love to attend it and actually be in it. But I could imagine it would be a great resource to have, like on YouTube or as a course or something, an online course that others can take. So that's one direction. The other direction is sketchnoting sermons, which I think is maybe the most approachable of any of these, right? Because at least for those who are believers and go to some kind of a faith service, could be Christian, could also be. I have Muslim friends who also sketchnote their scriptures, and I can imagine that anyone could actually apply this to any kind of religious faith. But I know that I personally do sketchnoting of our Sunday sermons, and it's a challenge for me, a good challenge, because every week I've got something new to push me to try things out, to experiment. I think it's so important for sketchnoters to have a practice and to find ways that you can force yourself to be challenged. And I think for me, having this weekly sketchnote of a sermon, sometimes in a series, sometimes individuals, often we'll have visiting guests that will come and speak. So I'll have maybe even a different perspective that keeps me on my toes. And I find that really valuable. So why don't we talk a little bit about sketchnoting sermons first, and then maybe we can touch after that on some of the concepts that you use to sketchnote scripture itself when you do studying.
Yeah. The what I did primarily in my beginning years of sketchnoting was sketchnoting sermons. I would go to church on a weekly basis and listen. And then I found myself little by little taking out a piece of paper. And what's great about churches today is that they have notes within the bulletins. Now, not every church does that, but a good portion of churches put notes into the bulletin so that people can follow along. Well, right there, if you have notes in the bulletin, it's a huge help towards sketchnoting, because right from the notes, you can actually see how many main points there are within that message, whether it be 30 minutes, 40 minutes, or an hour. And so that gives you some idea of where this message is going to go. And what I found, my original way of doing this was that if there were 3 points in a message, I would put down 3 columns on my paper. If there were 4 points in a message, I would break my paper up into 4 columns. And each column would kind of have a mini sketch note depending upon the point. And so at the top would be what the point is. Underneath it would be the scripture verse that they use. And then underneath would be some kind of visual that would capture that point, so that by the end of the message, I would have a 3-point or 4-point sermon sketch note. And that's how my sermon sketch noting started. And then over time, as I developed better listening skills and began to understand a little bit more about how design is done, I began to move away from the 3-column, 4-column, and started developing my own style. But that's how I started sermon sketch note. Now, I know there are some churches that don't pass out notes, so you have to listen a little bit more intently. And the key to going to a service that doesn't pass out notes is listen for the big idea, which is typically in the beginning of the sermon or the homily. And once you get that big idea, everything fits underneath that big idea. It's very similar to, say, a TED Talk or a conference speaker. What's the main idea? And then key in on what verses are being used to support that main idea. What I found was that the easiest things to sketch note is when there's some kind of narrative. When it talks about, say, Jesus doing something, or Moses doing something, or King David doing something, when there's some kind of narrative of action, it's a little bit more easy to sketch note. The hardest things I found to sketch note from the Bible are theological ideas, such as righteousness or faithfulness. It's a little bit more challenging. It can be done. It just takes a little bit more thought process. And so you key in on the big idea, you listen to the scripture verses, and particularly if there's some kind of narrative being attached to that message. And so that's how I go about doing a sermon sketch note.
That sounds very similar to the way I approach it too. So I'm usually listening for what's the concept. And I do lots of interpretation from my perspective of what it is that the pastor or the speaker is providing to me. So I'm always interpreting it just like I would any other sketch note. But definitely having some kind of reference helps. In our case, we don't typically have the notes in the bulletin, but our pastor actually provides his points up on the screen as a presentation. So that my goal is to not necessarily have to look at the screen, but I know that the stuff is there, so I can peek up and see if I'm moving fast, I can grab the concept up there. In worst case scenario, take a picture of it if I need to, right?
Yeah.
That's a trick that you can use as well. If there's stuff that you want to get, you can take photos of it. So there's, is just like any sketchnoting practice, there's many ways you can attack the challenge. I know, so in my case, I actually take the iPad Pro in. Part of the challenge for me was I got this iPad Pro and pencil, as I've mentioned before in many of these podcasts, and want to find ways. Usually when I get tools, I tend to push them as hard as I can and see where do they fail, where do they work well, so I understand them, so I can know when I should use a tool and when I shouldn't, or maybe have openings to say, you know, I've never used a tool for that, I should try it and see how it does. So having a Sunday sermon every week actually felt to me like a great opportunity to push myself. And what it's turned into is a little bit of like a ministry for other parishioners in the church to be able to see my interpretation of what was said. So typically I'll do the sketch note in the sermon, and most of the time I can fit it within the period, like the 40 minutes or 45 minutes. But occasionally there might be detail work. Maybe I want to add a little bit of notes, or maybe there's something it just wasn't quite right. I use Paper by 53 because it's got limitations, and it's not as easy as some tools to actually mess around with stuff. So there's limits to what I can do to tweak it. So I kind of like those guardrails. And sometimes I'll go, you know, find a table somewhere and sort of finish things up. And then I try to post it almost immediately. I don't want it to be something that hangs around too long because I just like it to be that moment, post it up. But I know that our friend Rob DeMeo actually has a different process. He goes and he does, because he's a Catholic, he actually knows what all the homilies are going to be for, I think, for the entire year, because it's planned out, and churches follow sort of a structure in that way. So he can actually know on a Sunday, any given Sunday, what the readings would be, and he can actually go and read those readings and meditate on them before he ever gets to his church service, to his Mass. So when he gets to the Mass, now he's got an idea of like where this thing is going to go, because he's actually read what's coming. And then he has a little notebook and a pen or a pencil, I think, and he just jots down notes in the homily. And I think homilies in a Catholic setting are often quite short. They're not maybe quite 40 minutes or an hour. It's actually a very small message, right? So he's got very limited time to capture concepts. And then he takes that notebook home, and then the combination of his study of the reading in the morning, and then the notes that captured him in that moment, he then kind of lets them bubble on his way home. When he gets home, he gets out his big iPad Pro, the 12.9, and he starts to reconstruct what the homily was and what it meant and sort of all that information. And then he builds that into a digital sketch note on his iPad, and I think he uses Procreate to do that. He's got his brushes and all that stuff, and then he delivers a sketch note of the homily or the sermon later in the afternoon, I think, typically, for people on Facebook, and I think he's publishing it on Twitter and stuff like that. So as you can see, you know, our three different approaches are, even within this concept, are just a little bit different from each other. And I think that's fantastic. I love that there's a variety, right? And everybody sort of attacks it a little bit differently, and we can all learn from each other. So this idea that Rob has of, if he can figure out what the readings are going to be, like if we know what that verse reference, we can actually read it ahead of time and meditate on it. So when we come to the point of doing the work, we've sort of got it in, you know, the spirit of it is within us. So it's a lot easier to get into that groove. And I think that can be true for any kind of sketchnoting, but specifically for talking about scriptures and sort of getting around the focus of it. So that's a great practice no matter what. So I think that's really fascinating. Have you heard of any other approaches to sketchnoting that are maybe different than those three that we've talked about, or four?
Well, I've seen other sermon sketchnotes, and I don't know how they approach it. But one of the things I want to do, Mike, is I want to learn from other people and how they do their sermon sketch notes. They may not call it sermon sketch notes, but they're doing it. And so one of the things I want to do with the website that I have, BibleSketchNote.com, is I want to showcase what people are learning from the Bible, whether it be a sermon or a Bible class or a Bible conference, maybe in their own daily meditation or a passage from the Bible. And I would love to showcase it just this similar way that Sketchnote Army, and Marl Toselli does a great job of this. He showcases different people's sketchnotes. I would love to do the same thing for anyone who's sketchnoting anything from the Bible. And from that, we can learn from one another.
I love that idea, and I think as we prepared to have this podcast discussion, we even said how excited we were that sketchnoting is a niche already to some degree, and now the direction you're taking it is sort of a niche of a niche, which is exciting, the fact that we can actually slice it even more finely and have specific things around that practice or that activity that make it unique is very exciting. I know, like, Rob bringing sketchnoting to the scientific community is super exciting. So this is just as exciting to see how can it be applied in a specific situation. So that just sounds fantastic. So, and I imagine that will touch on, so we've talked a little about sketchnoting sermons. I can imagine that would actually apply to sketchnoting just reading, you know, your own personal reading of scripture or meditations and things on scripture and the concepts. So maybe as a little bit of a teaser for maybe the direction you're going with some of the courses you're going to teach or the workshop that you've talked about, can you give us maybe some high-level concepts around maybe ways that someone, if they were really curious about sketchnoting, let's say they do readings in the morning from some kind of scriptures. What are some things that you can do to do that effectively as a sketchnoter of scriptures? Maybe at just a very high level, what would be some things that you could recommend for someone?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that come to mind. And as I'm thinking through the workshop, one of the biggest things you need to understand when it comes to the Bible is that there's different genres of the Bible. And sometimes when people open the Bible and they start reading, it gets a little bit confusing because they think it's in chronological order. And it's not necessarily in chronological order. It's actually grouped by genres. You have narratives, you have poetry, you have prophetical, you have letters, you have apocalyptic. So on scripture, one of the first things you need to understand is what genre are you reading? If it's a narrative, there's going to be some kind of action within it. If it's poetry, there's going to be metaphors and similes. If it's prophetical, there's a lot of forthtelling or foretelling. If it's a letter, there's going to be a lot of exhortation. And so you need to know what the author is trying to communicate. And that's really important, because if you don't interpret it correctly, it can really lead to some weird type of theology. Mm-hmm. And readers of scripture, they're reading scripture because they want to be obedient to the Lord. And so one of the ways to do that is to make sure that you're reading the Bible correctly. So it starts with the genre. And then there are times, even though I've been studying the Bible for years, there's still some things I get confused about. And so I have nearby different Bible commentaries. And they're not really large scholarly commentaries. They're like overview books that gives me the big picture of each book of the Bible. That's what I kind of drift towards. I don't drift into the big commentaries. And what I've done on my website, BibleSketchNote.com, is there's a page called Resources. And in that page, there's a whole bunch of Bible resources that I recommend to help people understand the Bible better. But as you're reading scripture, what's really interesting is how the Bible says, as you're reading scripture, God works within you. And so as I'm reading the scripture, I'm listening to what God is trying to say. It's not some exercise just to read. It's really a communication between me and God. And so I'm trying to discern what he's trying to say to me through the scripture. And I believe he will give me correct interpretation. And through that correct interpretation, as long as it doesn't violate what it says in other pieces of scripture, I begin to get an idea of what I need to sketch down. And so in a high level thinking, that's what I go through, Mike.
That sounds great. And I think, so the first one you mentioned, understanding genre, would probably come from those commentaries, right? The being able to see in a commentary what the genre of the book would give you that context. And then you could have reference for, well, what does, when he talks about this specific thing, what does it mean? What's the context?
Yeah.
Like in that time, this was, you know, it has subtle meaning to a hearer of that time, you know.
Correct.
You know, many thousands of years ago, that could mean something that we don't totally understand, and even the context of where they were. So like as an example, you know, Jesus operated in a time when the Roman Empire ruled this area of the world, and so you have to put that all in context and understand when he says certain things. There's lots of inferences that aren't immediately clear, and if you don't understand them, it can be really crazy, like what is he talking about?
Yeah.
So understanding that context is huge. Again, context just keeps coming up over and over again. But those are some fantastic high-level overviews that I can imagine someone could start working with, you know, right away. Understanding genre, getting commentaries to understand more of the depth of the context, and then asking God to, you know, to speak to you and make it clear what it is that it is that's coming through this reading. So you know what sketch note. Those are great.
Yeah, great summary.
So now that we've sort of gone pretty deeply on this whole topic of how you're applying it in your life and the things that you're building in this giant, the big hairy audacious goal?
Audacious goal.
So we've understood that and getting excited about seeing where that could lead you. Now let's get a little bit into the practical stuff. I think it's always good to balance the philosophical with practical. So let's talk a little bit about how you do your sketchnoting. I think lots of listeners are really into this, and they ask questions. And I don't think it's the idea that if I have your pen and the book that you use or the paper that you use, that somehow I'll be amazing. It's more like I see it as, at least in myself, I love to see what people use so I can try their perspective out and see, is there something about what they're doing that I'm missing? Like if they use a certain pen and paper, like maybe I can experience something that I couldn't have imagined, right? That's the way I look at it. I want to try new things because I might find a tool that I didn't even think about before or a way of working that I didn't even imagine. And that's why I think these describing the tools is valuable. Not tools for the tool's sake, but tools to transform. Because I found that the work that I do, whether it's sketchnoting or illustration or whatever, seems to be influenced by the tool that I'm using, oddly enough. It may be subtle, very subtle, but the way that the ink flows or the pencil works or the paper is or all those things seem to have subtle influence on the way it expresses through my work. So I think it's really valuable. So I know that you're pretty heavily analog, so why don't you go through the tools that you like to use so that we can understand and maybe try some of these out.
Sure. You know, just that introduction alone, that kind of reminds me of something our friend Catherine Misook, who was on an earlier podcast, I remember her saying that every pen has its own personality. And I find that my tools, they have their own personality. And I really enjoy the tools that I've acquired over the short time that I've been sketchnoting. And for me, I'm a pure analog guy. I haven't converted over to iPad, not because I don't want to. I would love to learn Paper 53 or Procreate. It's just for me personally, at this season, it's cost prohibitive. And so by default, I'll do analog. But at the same time, there's something about handwriting, either in a journal or maybe even letter writing or drawing by pencil, that's almost can be a lost art. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons I just love analog, because of the feel of the different tools. But a couple of things that I use is that on a practical level, sometimes when I go to a coffee shop or I'm working off site, I can't always find a table that has a smooth tabletop. So one of the things I did early on was I went to a plexiglass shop and I ordered a 9x12 plexiglass that's 1/8 inch thick. And that becomes my tabletop. And I have a consistent, smooth surface. It's really important for me to have straight lines. And so another tool that I use is a T-square, just a very simple T-square. But the smallest T-square that they have at an office supply store is 12-inch. And that's a little bit too big for me to carry around. So what I did was I had that same plexiglass store make me a 5x8 T-square. And it's perfect for me. And I put it in a pen notebook, or I can just slip it into my briefcase. So those are the two real practical things that I use on a day-to-day basis, the plexiglass 9x12 and the T-square. And what I wanted to do was, when I started taking sketchnoting seriously, I went to the office supply store looking for something to become my canvas. And I took a look at the various Moleskines, and they were a little bit cost prohibitive. Not to say that it's bad in any way. It's great paper. It's a wonderful canvas. But for me, I couldn't do what I wanted to do with the amount that I had. So I came up with the idea of index cards. They were cheap. They were portable. And they were disposable in case I made a mistake. And so right now, I can go to the office supply store, pick up a pack of 4x6 inch unruled index cards, and it won't put a dent in my pocket. And that has become my canvas of choice. And so on my Instagram or my Twitter, you'll primarily see me posting 4x6 index cards. And one of the great things about these index cards, now some may say, well, that's too small. For me, it gives me boundaries to make sure that I communicate just enough and not too much. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's a good size to do a daily sketch note, a 4x6. I might be called what some people call a two-timer. And a two-timer is someone who pencils, then inks. We have a mutual friend, Professor Clayton. He's a one and done. He'll mm-hmm. sketch note with a pen and he'll be done with it. I'm a two-timer. I need to pencil first. And so my favorite pencil is a Uni Kurutoga mechanical pencil. Uni, that's the brand, and the type is Kurutoga. And I read about these amazing mechanical pencils on some blog spot. And they're mechanical pencils that rotate the lead when you click the top so that the point is always sharp. Hmm. Kuru is a play on the Japanese word meaning turning. And toga is slang for point or sharp. Thus, I never have to rotate the pencil in my hand to find the sharp point of the lead. The pencil does that for me.
Wow.
And so I love this pencil. Hmm. And what's really important too is the type of lead that you use. And I use the grade, it's 3B. Most pencils use an HB mm-hmm. lead, which is very similar to a number 2 pencil lead. But the 3B lead is softer, mm-hmm. Darker, and great for sketching. Because when I erase it later, it doesn't leave any indentation. And it's really easy to erase. So I really like that grade of lead. Hmm. And then when I'm ready to ink, I'll use the Micron pens, the Sakura Pigma Micron Black. I used to use Sharpie Extra Fine or Ultra Fine pens, but when I used them, they had a tendency to bleed a little when you lifted the pen. And this made it difficult to draw long lines because you could tell where the line stopped and where it started again. Mm-hmm. The Microns don't do that. Well, when I use them, they don't leave a bleed mark when you lift them up. So it's very easy to draw long, continuous, smooth lines. And so they have six different grades, six different sizes of black. My go-to is the number 3 Micron, and that's a 35 millimeter point. And I really love that one. Most of my sketch notes when I ink is in that number 3 Pigma Micron. And then I like to put some shadowing in them or outline. And when I do that, I use a touch twin marker, and it's a warm gray, and it's just very subtle, depending what effect I'm going through, whether it be shadowing or outlining. But it adds a really nice depth and dimension mm-hmm. to any picture. You could shadow with a smaller Micron. I just happen to like that touch twin marker, that warm gray. And the other tool I'm going to add to my tool belt soon is I'm on the verge of purchasing what is called a beta book, which is a portable whiteboard.
Yep.
And I love that concept because if I'm going to do, say, a small workshop at a coffee shop, and there's six people around me, I don't want to have the 8.5 by 11 paper might not be big enough, but the bigger beta book is big enough to draw something and then to show it to others and then quickly erase it. And so that's going to be my next purchase. And so those are the tools that I use, the plexiglass, the T-square, the index cards, the mechanical pencil, the lead, the microns, the Touch Twin Marker and the Beta Book, and those go with me wherever I go.
Yeah, that sounds like a great tool set, and I can definitely speak highly of the Beta Book. I have one at work, the large one, and I believe it comes with a Neuland black, and at least the one that the Kickstarter-backed one came with the black and an aqua.
Yeah.
Erasable marker, right? So you can have two tones. I use it all the time at work to do like little wireframe ideas. In fact, there's a wireframe sketch that I did with a business partner for something I'm going to mock up on Monday. And it's just sitting there leaning against the monitor. So when I come in the morning on Monday, I can dive right in and start working a little bit on that. So that's a great tool for just expressing ideas quickly. You're going to love it, I think.
Looking forward to it.
So I was going to mention specifically on the pencil lead. That sounds like a fascinating pencil. And I know that I like a little bit softer lead as well. Usually a 2B is typically where I go, but it would be fun to try a 3B. And for those who, you know, want to know sort of context, HB is sort of like right in the middle. So when you start going to the H's, they get harder, and B represents softer. So that HB is right in the middle. So 3B is pretty soft. What is the size that you use for the... for that pencil, what's the millimeter size for your leads? Is it a 0.5, 0.7?
Yeah, it's a 0.5.
0.5? Got it. Which is nice because those leads are pretty easy to find everywhere, right?
Yeah, they are. I can go to the office supply store and just grab a bunch.
I like that approach too. You know, lots of the pens that I choose are things that I can find in an office supply store. But just because it's, if I'm in a city and I need it, it's easy to go to Walgreens or... even like a grocery store often will have these really basic pens or pencils that you can grab without having to be too precious about it, which I think is great.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. So now I'm gonna ask our last section that we do is we ask for three tips that you can provide for someone who's maybe new to sketchnoting or even if they've been doing it for a while. They can be philosophical, they can be practical, but there's something practical, something that can be applied right away to the you know what you're doing, and I think after that I'm going to talk about something special. So once we do those three tips, we're going to talk a little bit about something that Mauro Ticelli has started and that you are part of, so that we can talk about that. So remind me when you're done to jump into the traveling Sketching Our Army traveling book once we finish with your three tips. So with that,
sure.
I'll go quiet here for a little bit while you share some wisdom with us.
Yeah, the three words of advice. The first one is kind of big. It's a big umbrella advice for anyone who's starting sketchnoting. And here it is. Maximize your Twitter account. Maximize your Twitter account. And the reason I say that is because Twitter has become a great platform for people who want to sketchnote. You can start a Twitter account and just look up the hashtags sketchnote or sketchnotes or sketchnoting. You'll begin to see this huge amount of people's sketchnotes. And it's wonderful. This sketchnote ideology has grown so much and it's become a hashtag. And so one of the ways you can start sketchnoting is by getting a Twitter account and start following the people whose work you really like. And what I started doing was I would take screenshots of people's work and I would create a visual library on my phone. So whether I'd be at a church or at a coffee shop, I'd have this visual library on my phone and I'd say, I could draw that, or that's a great way to communicate that. And that all came from Twitter. And then as you post a sketchnote, include the hashtag sketchnote or sketchnotes so other people can find it. I found this great desktop app. It's called TweetDeck. And what it does is it connects to my Twitter account, but TweetDeck allows me to see multiple hashtags at once. So I can see sketchnote and sketchnotes or Bible study. And I can see all of this at once. And I'm constantly on TweetDeck. I'm not on Twitter the Twitter app. I'm on TweetDeck, so I really love that. And going along this lines of maximizing your Twitter account, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the Sketchnote community on Twitter. It's a wonderful community. I think about the people who I follow and whose stuff I would screenshot. A couple of people come to mind. I think of Melinda Walker, who goes by One Squiggly Line. She's one of the first people I started following because she had these really simple drawings. And then along came our mutual friend, Rob DeMille. And he has these really cool drawings that almost look like Mad Magazine artist Don Martin. And it's really funny. But Rob's a great sketchnoter. Part of the community is Professor Michael Clayton, who teaches design in a higher education environment. Mentioned Catherine Misook. She has beautiful penmanship. She was one of the first people I communicated with early on. And I asked her, are you in Japan? And because she loves these Japanese tools. And she says, no, I'm actually on the East Coast. But through this communication, she started recommending some stuff. And when I went to take a visit from Japan, I went to the office stores she recommended, picked up some supplies, and they're great stuff. And that came out of the Twitter community. I met this guy, Oscar Campbell, on Twitter. He's in Colombia, South America. And he does these beautiful scripture notes. Mauro Toselli, Italy, constantly creating, created a how-to book, created something called a bento box, this portable sketchnote toolbox. Marichelle Boudouin, she has this really cool visual alphabet, and I screenshotted that. And the sketchnote community is constantly growing, and the people are very accepting, and they're really encouraging. And I get to interact with people all over the world. There's a lady named Diana in Germany, Marianne Reddy, she's also in Germany, Katerina Theisbro, Germany, Mario Foglia, Italy, James Serretta, he's in Australia. And I recently met a guy named Mitch Bolton, he's in Colorado, and we had a tweet up not too long ago when I was visiting Colorado. And so I love the Sketchnote community on Twitter, and it lets me communicate with people I wouldn't normally be able to communicate with. I remember back in the 90s when I wanted to communicate with some kind of influencer, I had to write a letter or find their phone number.
Yeah.
And if I wrote a letter, you know, it'd take a couple of days, take a week for it to get there because I'm from Hawaii. It'd take a week to get there to the mainland. And then I had to wait another week or two to get a response. Twitter made the world so much smaller. And I've had communications with Austin Kleon, Dave Gray.
Both great guys.
This morning, yeah. And this morning I sent a message to Matthias Jakobsen, who we just had on the previous podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was through Twitter that I met you, Mike. And that's how we connected. And so first advice, if you're beginning Sketchnote, is maximize your Twitter account. It's just amazing. My second piece of advice comes from Austin Kleon and his book, Show Your Work. And don't be afraid to show your work. In his book, Show Your Work, he mentions something called a daily dispatch. Where you just post something every day. And so I did that. I did a daily dispatch on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook for 7 weeks. And I posted my index card Bible sketch notes. And then I put all my index card sketch notes into a 4x6 album, which is great because they have these miniature photo albums, perfect size for 4x6 index cards. And I filmed it. And it became like volume one of my Bible sketch notes. And I just finished volume two and I posted that on social media. Now I'm working on volume three. And when I had these albums, and I think it holds about 36 index cards or photos, there was a real sense of accomplishment And so now it's become a habit. And you never know if someone will like it. One day I posted something that was primarily text, and I personally didn't like it very much, but I wanted to post something as a daily dispatch. And then someone asked if they could repost it because they really liked it, although I personally didn't like it. And so you never know who's going to like your stuff, so post it. And it's affirming when someone notices. I did a sermon sketch note on a message by Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church, which is in California, Southern California. It was primarily a text sketch note, but it had a drawing of what is called Nebuchadnezzar's statue, and along with that, four people in the fire. And the person managing the church's social media, he really liked it. And so you never know who's going to like what you post. And here's what's really important to understand as you share your work or show your work. Don't compare yourself with others, but learn from others. Because I found that comparison is the thief of joy. When you think, oh, mine isn't as good as someone else, or mine has these mistakes, don't worry about them. Don't compare yourself to someone else, because it'll rob you of the joy that you can find through sketchnoting. And then go ahead and post it. Amen. Don't be afraid to post it. So that's number two. Don't be afraid to share your work. And here's number three. If you're beginning to sketchnote, know that your initial work is going rough, but post it anyway. Because eventually, in your style. And one of the things I like from a previous podcast that you did with Todd Clark, Mike, is my takeaway was it's about progression, not perfection. I remember back in Mother's Day 2015, I did a sermon sketch note. And then I posted it on Twitter. And then you, Mike, replied, "Nice work." And that made my day. It was just great for someone to notice it. And I look back at that sketch note, and I actually have it on my website, BibleSketchNote.com. And I look at it, and it's so rigid. I used way too many colors. And there's a lot of white space, but that was such a big encouragement. And so I continued to do more sermon sketch notes, and eventually I found a style. Like I said earlier, the 3-point sermon, you know, three columns, or a 4-point sermon, four columns, and so forth. And so know that your stuff is going to be rough, and you're going to eventually find your style. This year I kind of changed up my sermon sketch notes, because I'm trying to find better ways to communicate the Bible. And so I'm trying my hand at some realistic art for my sketch notes. Now, know that it's not about art. It's about the ideas. And Mike says that in the sketch note handbook. So if you got to start off with stick figures, start off with stick figures. And then it can run the gamut to realistic art. And eventually, you'll find your style. And so right now, I'm trying to change it up a little bit, trying to learn how to draw bodies and faces and hands. I haven't quite got the fingers or the faces down, but I think I got the body and the face shapes down. But you just keep practicing. And little by little, you'll find your style. So know that, third, your early work is going to be rough, but keep practicing. And soon you'll find your own style.
Wow, those are fantastic. Those are three wonderful tips for someone who's getting started, or even someone who's getting into it. I know that Twitter has definitely been a big part of my development as well. And right now, with so many things going on with work and family and so on, I often don't get a chance to spend time on Twitter like I would like to. But when I do, it's always very rewarding. So that's a huge one. And of course, you know, Austin Kleon, show your work. Showing your work is so important. And then, of course, the focus on progression and not where you're at. love that idea of comparison being the thief of, you know, joy. I think that's a big amen from my side. I think I found that for myself. And once I stopped comparing myself to others and started just enjoying the flow, it just made everything so much better. So if you can move to that space, if you're listening, that's going to be a huge move for you. So thanks for those great tips and sharing those with us. So now let's kind of wrap up the whole package here with something that our friend Mauro Ticelli had this crazy idea to do, and I loved it from afar, and that is the Sketchnote Army traveling book. I think that's the right description. I'd have to take a look and see. We'll put a link in the show notes for those who are interested. But why don't you explain? I think you probably, having actually held the book in your hands and done some sketchnoting, are probably the right person to explain what it is and sort of the concept, and get people excited so when they get to that link after they hear this, they can see what it's about and where it's traveled and where it's going. I think it's going to be on the road for a while. So go ahead and give us a little bit of an overview of that for us.
Yeah, what happened back in September was there was this communication going on between some sketchnoters, and we're trying to find a time to get together, have this like big sketchnote get together. And I mentioned on Twitter, wouldn't it be great when we get together, we just write a little something in each other's book. And so it kind of like a high level autograph book. I remember in elementary school, we had these autograph books, and in high school, we had yearbooks. Mm-hmm. But when the sketchnote community comes together, what do? Well, we're going to sketchnote. And so I said, why don't we just sketchnote in each other's book? And then Mauro, who happened to be online at that time, he says, well, why wait? Why do we have to wait for a get-together? And then he says, I have a great idea. And that's how it is with Mauro.
Yeah, it is, definitely. He's great.
Yeah, he comes up with these wonderful ideas, and he goes back to his workshop, and I kind of imagine him kind of like Wile E. Coyote from the Looney Tunes, you know, dun 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 dun, and he goes to the workshop, and he starts building this notebook, and he makes it by hand. He doesn't go out to the store and buy it. He's going to create a sketch note book by hand. And he starts posting this on Twitter. He binds the paper. I mean, he's actually stitching the paper together. And then he takes some book covers. He lacquers it. I think he puts some decoupage on it. And he creates this notebook. And then he also makes this cardboard, heavy-duty cardboard cover to encase it in. And he says, this is the Sketchnote Army traveling notebook, and it's going to go on a 2-year journey, and it's going to go to different sketchnoters around the world. And so if you get the sketchnote traveling notebook, you determine who gets it next. There's no predetermined plan. And so I was very fortunate to be the first recipient of this traveling notebook. It came from Italy all the way to Honolulu, Hawaii. And I felt so privileged and so fortunate. And so I drew my sketch note. Took me a week to do it because I really wanted to do it honor. I mean, this is, to me, this is almost like when Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark in the beginning, when he's getting the statue.
Yeah.
This is what it kind of felt to me. It was just so precious. And so I handled it with care. I took it with me wherever I went, because I didn't want something to happen to it. And then after I finished my sketch note, I took it around the island, and I had put it by the King Kamehameha statue, and I took it to Iolani Palace, the only palace in the United States, and I took it to the Kawai Hau Church, which is the first church on Oahu, and I had the traveling sketch note book take pictures with these tourist sites. And it felt like a friend. And I said, I'm going to treat this this book like a friend. So I took it sightseeing. And then it was time to let go. I felt really sad. Hmm. And then I sent it off to Oscar Campbell in Colombia, South America. And he did his sketch note. And then he sent it off to Michael Clayton in Texas. And so that's where it's at now. And it's going to travel the world for the next 2 years. It's so exciting.
Yes. And I think I saw sort of your inspiration to take it to places on Oahu and the in other places in Hawaii is now Michael, who's in San Antonio, headed at the Alamo. And so it's sort of, you know, it's created its own, you know, ways of being. So it challenges people to do new things and they build on top of each other. So I'm just excited to see where it's going to go next. And, you know, what I think when it comes back, I can't wait to see. Maybe we should have a live opening by tomorrow or something, right? Where he opens the book and then he goes through each page or something like that. It would be really fun to see him document that and share that and turn it into a post on Sketchnote Army so everyone can enjoy that that whole thing. And I remember when he reached out to me, Mauro is always doing this, as you know. He'll reach out to me and he'll say, "Hey, I've got this great idea. I want to do this thing. Can I do this?" And I was like, "Dude, just do it. This is awesome." Like, I don't think I've ever said no to anything that Mauro has suggested because he has just a great sense of what is cool to do. And so often we sort of complete each other's sentences, so we make a good team. When we first started this podcast 2 seasons ago, it was he and I who had this discussion in the beginning. And we just started talking about iPads because we both had them and we just felt like we wanted to share them. That's still one of the most listened to podcast episodes, even with 2 seasons in the can, nearly, but it's still one of the most popular. And then we just sort of sat down with bad audio and, you know, he was self-conscious about his English, which I thought was fantastic. And I actually think his Italian accent was very attractive. And many people who know him thought it was fantastic to have, you know, him on the podcast. And we had talked about re-recording it, like, oh, we would say this and we would do this and we should re-record it with better audio. And I think it was like we talked about that for a day, and then I emailed him. I said, why are we re-recording this? This is fantastic the way it is. It should be like a time capsule for that moment. And he was like, I was thinking exactly the same thing. So so many times, you know, when one will reach out to the other, we'll be thinking exactly the same thing about the same idea. And, you know, we watch out for each other. And Mauro has just been a fantastic person to help really mature the Sketchnote Army and be someone who can focus at, you know, from a different time zone, a different place. I just love that it's such an expansive and unique and varied community. I think that makes it so much richer and so much more valuable to others.
Yeah. And what it's done is, because of this partnership between you and Mauro, it's having this ripple effect within the Sketchnote community, that we're all helping one another. And it's not just you, Mike. This partnership illustration extends to the whole community. And I so appreciate what you and Mauro have done. So props to you guys.
Well, thank you. We're happy that we can be we can help facilitate and make the community go and sort of model, you know, how we think the community should be. And I think that's just the way to do it. I don't know any other way that works better than to just, you know, be example, be servant leaders, and to be there to help the community grow in whatever way we can. So I'm glad to hear that sort of our efforts are coming to fruition and helping others. Wonderful. Well, thanks, Gary, for making time to talk about this whole concept of sketchnoting faith, about all the things we've talked about. And now, why don't we go to the things, the places that we can find you. So, you know, where we can find you. I'm assuming, based on your tip number one, that you're going to be on Twitter, of course. But I know that you're on Instagram and other places, so why don't you go through that list so that those who want to reach out and chat with you can do so, and the places to best find you.
Yeah, I try to make it as simple as possible because it goes back to my value of making the complex simple and turning chaos into order. So I try to make it simple for people to contact me. I'm primarily on Twitter, and I'm also on Instagram, but Twitter, you know, like I said, point number one, maximize your Twitter account, which allows for a lot of open communication. And so my handle is at Pastor Gary Lau, and Lau is spelled L-A-U, and you can find me there. And like I said in earlier, if you want to do a sermon sketch note or a Bible sketch note, and I would love to put it on BibleSketchNote.com. I would love to showcase your work so that it builds this community. If on your Twitter, when you post, if you post hashtag BibleSketchNote and also tag me in it, that way I'll see it. And then I'll take a look at it. Sometimes I'll give feedback. Sometimes I'll just give you a thumbs up. Good job. Keep going. But I would really like to develop this sketchnote niche of Bible sketchnote. You can go on my website, BibleSketchNote.com. I post there daily, and it gives a little bit more information on my daily Bible sketchnotes, more than what I can post on Twitter. Also, there is what I have, tools of the trade, Bible resources, sketchnote resources. It also talks about my journey, sketchnoting, and it's constantly growing. And by the way, going back to Marl, he helped me with some design ideas on the sketchnote, on the BibleSketchNote.com. So that's part of the community bleeds over to my website. And then you can always email me if you want to have a private conversation or you want to talk to me. You can get email me at Gary@BibleSketchNote.com. That's it, Mike.
Wow. That's I love how compact and concise it is. And if one of those ways is the way that you prefer, reach out to Gary. He will always welcome you and love to talk more about any of these topics we've talked about. So I think it's been a wonderful period of time for us to chat, and what a great way to wrap up season 2 of the Sketchnote Army podcast. I know I'm excited about the list of guests, which continues to grow for the future season. So I'm looking at doing season 3 probably in January. Maybe it'll be January 1st, so we'll have a New Year's Day present from Sketchnote Army.
Oh, that would be great.
So that we've already got some people lined up and a big list of people. So if you have suggestions, you know, email and reach out to us. We definitely accept those requests. And, you know, when we see lists of people that keep getting requested, then we reach out to those people too. So thank you for making this time and just making it a fun wrap-up of season 2, Gary.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been such a privilege and honor, Mike.
Wonderful. And so I'm going to wrap the show with that, everyone. So until season 3 of the Sketchnote Army podcast, I will talk to you later, and have a great holiday season, everyone.